Thank you, Andrew. Why don't we look to the Lord in prayer once again and ask His help in understanding His word and what He wants for us. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We thank you for the truth of even the reality that's ours in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the songs that we could sing, the message of them, the comfort, the encouragement, the truth. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening. Thank you for these whose hearts you touch to gather here in the house of the Lord on a Sunday evening. There are many other things people could be doing, but I thank you that these wanted to gather with your people. And we thank you now for that privilege and what you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Asking and receiving. I think we're all familiar with the way it works, aren't we? We have a special event that perhaps may be approaching, birthday, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, for those to whom that applies. And sometimes different individuals say, hey, what would you like for whatever the upcoming event is? It's always a problem, isn't it? Whoever needs anything. You always have trouble coming up with something, don't you? Usually, there's not enough events to cover the wants with most. But anyway, we're familiar with how that works, aren't we? You have something you want, somebody asks you, well, you know, such and such an event is coming, what might you want? And you make some suggestions, and you hope it's within what they want to spend for that occasion, so that you'll get it. Does that work with God? Can we do that? Can we say, God, I would really like such and such, and so I'm going to ask you for it? Is that how that works? Can we even think that maybe if we were to ask God, He just might answer affirmatively? Well, let's turn to a familiar passage this evening. Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. We're going to actually read the first three verses, but the message is based on the third verse. It starts out in verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will what? Answer you, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Andrew, Judson, who's writing the title down? Just ask. Just ask. Let's notice first of all the simple invitation. the simple invitation. Call unto me in verse 3. Call unto me. That suggests to us, A, the action that's required. What is it? Call. Call. Through the scriptures, we discover that time and time again, God teaches us, even though he knows our thoughts, we still find him instructing us to do what? Call. And I know sometimes people have assumed, since God knows everything, why should I even call? And yet throughout Scripture we find time and time again God instructs his own, call upon me, call upon me. Now the truth is, though the invitation is so plain and so simple, many simply will not call or ask God for something. Well, you say, well, that's kind of dumb. Let me give you a modern illustration, a human illustration, and maybe it will kind of help put things in perspective. How many men, when they are on a destination, and the truth is they actually are lost and they don't know where they're at, how many men will readily stop and ask someone for directions? Why not? Because if I stop and ask somebody for directions, it damages my pride. I think if I just go around this next bend, I think if I just get off at this next exit, I think if I turn at this next corner, I think I know what I did wrong, and I think I can get this all figured out. Am I hitting some notes, guys? I know I am with the women because I see you smiling and even looking at your husbands. Like, he's talking about you. Husbands, men don't like to ask for help. It hurts our manly ego. We're a man, we can figure anything out. We're not directionally impaired like our wives are. So, we don't need to ask. I can work this out myself. Now let's bring that back to Jeremiah's time. Call unto me. If I call out to God, then that's a symbol, that's a signal that I'm weak. That's a signal that I can't figure this out for myself. And I'm not ready to admit that to God. So you know, I think I'll just keep working on this problem. I think I'll just keep wrestling with this difficulty. Isn't it dumb? Pride keeps many from calling, because we assume that it is a sign of weakness. There's a favorite song. We're not going to turn to it, but it's number 244 in our songbooks. What a friend we have in Jesus. Remember the words, I think, of that first verse? What a friend we have in Jesus. What is it? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. We bring many of our own problems on because we do not do the simple invitation of Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, child of mine, God says. I am here for you. Call unto me. Oh, I know he's there. But I think I can work this out. And so the action required, I know what it says in this simple invitation, call. And it also suggests not only the action required, but our text suggests to us, be the person recognized unto me, unto me, the Lord God. That's who's speaking here in Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, verse 2. Call unto me, verse 3. Truth of the matter is, many people don't know who to call. Consider, for instance, the tendencies, the record of man's sinful tendencies with the nation of Israel. Turn back, if you would, to Judges chapter 10. You say, well, everybody knows who to call upon. God's people didn't. Judges chapter 10. Let's begin at verse 6. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year, they, the Philistines and the Ammonites, vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. And how long did that vexation last? 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Ammonites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. What's the scenario that we're picking up here? God's people had been vexed by the enemy armies for 18 years. And then now it begins to speak, there was some more recent action underway. And it tells us in beginning at verse 9 that Ammon passed over the Jordan River. They came in to fight against Judah, Benjamin, the house of Israel, or Ephraim, and Israel was all upset. And the natural thing is to do what? What are we looking at this evening? Jeremiah 33:3. What's the action required? Call unto me. Well, guess what? Verse 10. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, verse 6, and have also served Balaam, verse 6. Now here we see, in all honesty, what is Israel doing here? Are they trying to cover over their sin or what? They're actually admitting, we've sinned against you, God. We've forsaken you. We've followed other, we've counted on and depended upon other gods. But we really need you now, God. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, verse 11, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. God said, I've delivered you a lot of times. I have answered your call a lot of times. And look what you did, verse 13. You've forsaken me. And you've served other gods. I know you're sorry now because you know you're in trouble. But we see something kind of shocking here in verse 13, especially in our thinking of God. Well, you know God, he's like that grandpa that just sits up there. And you know he's got a soft spot in his heart. And you know that he's always going to come to our rescue. What's it say in verse 13? It ends with what? Wherefore I will deliver you. What's your Bible say? No more. And then, look at verse 14. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your children or of your tribulation. What do we see? God said, I've had it up to here. I have taken care of you people. I have rescued you. I have saved you. I have called upon you. And how did you thank me? You turned your back against me and you dropped me like a hot potato and you started calling out upon the God of this nation and that nation and that nation and that nation. You didn't want to call upon me anymore, but now that you're in trouble, you think you can run back to me and I'm going to respond. But he said, I'll tell you what. not this time. You call upon your gods. Call upon your gods. See if they respond to you, because I'm not going to. Verse 15, the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we've sinned. Do unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was what? Grieved for the misery of Israel. And we find God, because he loves his people with an everlasting love, his heart was grieved by their misery. And he raised up another judge for them, beginning in the next chapter, Jephthah. He was a mighty man of valor. And so on. God raised up another judge. What was the point in all of this? The point is, many people don't know who to call upon. Look at what the history of God's people recorded. Though God had done so much for them, history documents that they were well known for calling upon God. Oh, no. Their history is dotted with the stark reality that generation after generation, and the sad thing about the time of the book of Judges is this repeated cycle. Remember it? God would be good to them. God would work in their favor. God would set them on solid ground. Things would begin to go well for them as long as the judge was alive. Oh, thank you, God. The judge would die. And the people would turn away from the Lord and would begin to head their eyes in the direction of a false god. And God would, like we read in this chapter, he would allow the enemy to begin to oppress and vex them. They would find themselves between a rock and a hard place. They would cry out, oh God, we're sorry. We repent. We'll put the false gods. And God would, because he has a tender heart to his people, he would begin to work in their behalf, and he would raise up another deliverer who would fight God's battles for them and would once again turn the hearts of the people, turn the enemy away, and set them back on solid ground. Whew. Thank you, Lord. But it was just like a ball rolling down a hill. How many times that cycle was repeated in the book of... That is the tragedy of the record of the book. God's people just didn't learn from their mistakes. They just kept turning away from God and calling upon false gods. But Jeremiah said, hear the word of the Lord, call unto me. I'm the one you ought to be calling unto. So many times Israel was mistaken. one of the famous times, and I just give you the chapter, 1 Kings 18. Remember in Elijah's day, when after Elijah had prayed that it would not rain until he said so again for 3.5 years, there was a drought. And one day God said, you go back and you show yourself to the king and you call the people together and you challenge the false priests, the false prophets to a contest. Come up on Mount Carmel and let's let the true God prove himself by sending fire and igniting a sacrifice. We will get it already, but we just won't light the fire. You know that's all in chapter 18, but the significance is that occasion occurred because Israel didn't know who to call upon. Say, of course they did. No, they didn't. Verse 21, Elijah said to all the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. God's people didn't even know who the true God was. They didn't really know who to call upon. And so we find then, after God showed his mighty power, after God showed his mighty power, and sent the fire, and it burned up not only the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, but it also licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And do you know what it says? They said there in verse 39, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What a tragedy. God's own people didn't even know who their God was. And it was proven by who were they in the habit of calling upon. They had been calling upon false gods. Many people don't know who to call. The invitation is so simple. And it requires a definite answer, or a definite answer toward a particular person. And in our text in Jeremiah 33:3, it simply states, call unto me. After we've seen the simple invitation, that brings us, number two, to the specific promise. Notice again in Jeremiah 33, there's a promise connected with calling. It says, I will answer thee. I will answer thee. The certainty, A, with that specific promise. Psalm 91, verse 15. God says, you call, I'll answer. Psalm 91, 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 tells us this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and guess what? He will have mercy on him. And let him return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 58:19. Guess what? My Isaiah 58, doesn't it's verse 9, pardon me. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou wilt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. You call, I'll answer. Luke 11, verse 9, tells us this, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. One more of multitudes of promises like this, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now the answers are not always immediate. There might be delays. Last Sunday night in our evening message, we discovered that the answers might even be negative. Remember last Sunday night? When God says no. The answers, though, that God gives are always right. How do I know that? In Psalm 72:18, the psalmist says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. But one last thing I want us to notice in our text, not only the certainty of this specific promise, I will answer you, one way or another, I'm going to give you an answer. We see B, the diversity of that answer. It tells us in our text that I will show you what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm going to bring to light. I will show you great, mighty, hidden things. So many times we say, but I'm in the dark, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing about this. Are you calling upon the Lord? Are you asking the Lord to show you? He has promised, I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. I will bring to light for you. If you trust me, I'll show you. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. When you're in the dark about something. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. When you find yourself in the dark about something, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's so unclear, I can't see. The psalmist says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. In Proverbs 16:3, we find this promise: commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Tell the Lord about it. Wait on him. He's promised, I will answer you, and I will show you what you're supposed to do. Ephesians 3:20 and 21, a favorite verse of many, many folks, perhaps because of the words of the Lord that are promised to us there. When it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So what am I supposed to do? I've got some uncertainty. I'm facing a decision. I have questions. What's our text tonight? The answer to what I should do is just ask. Call unto me. I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. God invites us to call, and he promises to answer. But may we remember that when we ask, according to James, we're not just to be mouthing the words, but we're to be believing in our hearts. Because in James 1, 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Call unto me and I will answer you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I ask him. But did you ask in faith? James says, if you didn't ask in faith, don't expect God to answer. God invites us to call and promises to answer. I trust there won't be anyone that will turn down this invitation. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Lord, I trust that what's been said this evening has been to your glory and honor. And I trust that you've had the freedom to speak to our hearts, our sinful natures, often mislead us away from you. We convince ourselves that we don't need to stay so close to you. We can figure things out for ourselves. But Lord, help us to see how important it is that we stay not only in fellowship with you, but in communication with you. And may we call upon you more and depend upon ourselves less. Teach us these truths. Give us safety as we make our way to our homes. We ask this for your glory and your name. Amen.